The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is BGN Radio episode number 262. With me, as always, is Brandon Lee Gowton of BleedingGreenNation.com. I am Jimmy Kemsky from PhillyVoice.com. Practice number 7 of Eagles training camp is in the books. Padded practice once again. They will practice, we're recording this on a Saturday. They will practice again tomorrow on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. 7 o'clock, I think, Brandon.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you can make your way down there, make sure that you say hello from the stands if you see Brandon or me on the sidelines during practice. But before we get to practice today, first of all, my sister texted me this morning.
Wow.
And she said that she bought a 9-pack of Righteous Felon craft jerky. It was,
wow,
like 9 different flavors and some sticks, she said, too, I think.
The meat tubes, Jimmy.
That's probably what it was. For her husband, Ron. My brother-in-law, Ron, is going
Shout out, Ron.
Chowing down on some meat snacks over the next few weeks with this purchase. My sister said, actually, it was already discounted. And then,
nice,
on top of the already discount, she used BGN20.
Boom.
And was further discounted. So, yes. I didn't even know she knew about it. I didn't even know she listened to the podcast. And then she texted me saying that she bought Righteous Felon craft jerky. So there you go.
Well, can't wait to hear the review from Ron. We'll have to get that from you, Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
We'll have to get the check-in there. But I'm sure he's going to like it because it's great. You go to righteousfelon.com. Use discount code BGN20 for 20% off your order. Do it today. Why not? Now, because the discount code is eventually going to go back down to 15%. Right now it's at 20% off. Get your 20% off with BGN20. That's the discount code you want to use right now. Jimmy, we have a practice to get into.
We do. Where do you want to start?
Let's talk about it.
Let's start with Jalen today.
Okay. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
As opposed to Jalen Reagor.
Right. You want to go? You can go. Let's hear from you first.
So I thought it was a stock even today day for him today. I thought there was a mix of good and bad. I have been trying to make a habit of checking in with other reporters to see what they think. I have my own determination that I'm pretty much going to go with no matter what. But I like to check just to make sure I'm checking myself and I'm not like crazy off balance here. And I got a bunch of other stock evens. So that kind of lined up with how I felt what I was going to put anyway. And I think he did some good things in terms of there was a really nice pass up the seam to Dallas Goedert. That's a throw I remember Mark Sanchez really being good at and probably his like best and only good throw. And that's not something we've seen a ton from Hurts. So I like that. I liked how he had a really nice throw, I thought, to AJ Brown that I originally thought was dropped, but apparently it was not, according to AJ Brown, who tweeted it was a pass breakup.
Yeah.
But I also don't know if that's necessarily canon. I mean, of course, right, he's going to say it's a pass breakup when it's, you know, him not looking good. So, but regardless of the result of that play, I thought there was really good zip on the ball coming out and accuracy. Like that was like a kind of one of the closest things to like a wow throw in camp that surprised me. The ball really jumped out of his hand there. Now, I will say,
you're talking about the deep ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like some of the best things from Jalen Hurts, or most of the best things, I should say, happened against the second team defense. And when the first team offense was going up against the first team defense, obviously it's not like rocket science to say they looked worse, but like also weren't very functional, except for the red zone drill at the end where I thought the offense was efficient. But to me, that wasn't about Hurts carrying the offense there as much as he was kind of like being the point guard and to his credit, not messing up, but wasn't doing anything spectacular. So I do give him credit. I think that's a positive. And maybe that's somewhere I will admit where I don't give Hurts enough credit, where some quarterbacks would mess that situation up and maybe overcomplicate things. He has he's a knack for kind of not doing that in those spots. But I just feel like if that's your best thing, that's not like the super impressive highlight that, you know, if that's the best thing, one of the best things you do, then you're kind of not doing some other special thing. So overall, I thought it was a mixed bag.
So I thought he was really good on two other throws too. The seam route to Dallas Goedert, where,
yeah, I mentioned that one.
Yeah, Marcus Epps had a chance to pop him on that, and he had mercy on Dallas Goedert, as he should, given that the right drop off from Dallas Goedert to, I mean, whoever your number two tight end is going to be huge. So good on Marcus Epps for not laying out Dallas Goedert on that play. Maybe was a little bit of a hospital ball, but I actually liked that throw down the seam to Dallas Goedert. The other throw that I thought that was really good was A.J. Brown over the middle in sort of the intermediate.
Like a deeper slant, right?
Yeah, like an intermediate to deeper area of the field, probably like 20 or so yards down the field. And A.J. Brown was hauling ass over the middle of the field. Like he was in a full sprint, and Hurts hit him like on the money, like in stride. Yep. A.J. Brown didn't have to break stride after making that catch. And then he stiff armed, you know, open palm right in the face to Kerry Vincent twice on the run after catch. So that was an entertaining rep just to watch. But I thought that throw was really good. So I had him stock up just because of those three throws, the deep ball that you mentioned, the seam route to Goddard that you mentioned, and then that throw. I mean, for me, those are three throws that he didn't consistently make last year during the season. And for me, if I see improvement in like some of the deficient areas, I'm kind of swayed by that, as I mentioned in a previous episode when I had him as a stock up and you had him as a stock even. Now, as a disclaimer, I did not watch 7-on-7s. So whenever they play, they go 7-on-7s. Brandon likes to watch the 7-on-7s. I like to watch the O-line, D-line, 1-on-1s. And actually, that works out nicely for the pod because we get perspective on both. So I didn't see the interception that he threw, which was to Darius Slay. I missed all that. I did peek over at one point, and I saw him run on a 7-on-7. I was like, oh, okay, there's going to be more of that on the pod, I guess. They don't love that, of course. So, again, I only had him on a stock up on basically what I really was watching from, you know, beginning of rep to end of rep. And that was during team drills, 11-on-11. So I can really only go on that. I have, again, stock up for me. But if you're stock even and we have to come to a consensus, I'll just go ahead and volunteer. We can go stock even because, again, I didn't watch the 7-on-7s when he didn't appear to be all that impressive.
Yeah, and I just thought he underthrew Quez Watkins by a little bit. There was some talk from people who had a slightly different angle that Slay had a great rep on Quez Watkins the whole time. But I think both things can be true. I think it was a really good rep from Darius Slay. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the ball like hung a little bit and was not exactly like out in front of Quez Watkins as it was. He had to come back and was behind him and didn't look like it was supposed to be that way. So I definitely don't think that was a great throw. And then, yeah, it's at least the fourth time in the past, like three practices, I think, that Hurts has taken off running in 7-on-7. That's too much. It's not like he's taking – how many 7-on-7 reps is he even taking? It's not like 10 a day.
Today especially was not a long session because –
yeah,
they didn't have that many O-line, D-line, one. I only had three notes in my O-line, D-line notes today.
Right.
So it wasn't a long session at all. And again, that runs concurrently with the 7-on-7s.
So you're running, like, let's say he has had 12 reps in the past three practices. You're running on like a third of your 7-on-7 reps, which is a passing drill. Like, what are we doing? Like, what is that? I just don't like that at all. It's happening way too much. Happened twice in the last practice, once today, at the very least. I just think that's way too much. Other times where he's holding on to the ball too long, there were two plays specifically, and also basically like a dead zone for him. If you get him rolling left, he's not completing a pass. I feel like that's almost been consistent in training camp, which, you know, that kind of makes some sense in that he's right-handed. It's not going to be his strength, but it's almost just like he stands no chance. like when he's gone left, like he did twice today. One time I thought he got sacked and probably wouldn't have gotten the ball off. He ran forward for like 2 yards anyway, if you want to say he got away from the defense. The second time he threw it anyway, and it was out of bounds still, and it was more of a sack that time. It was clear the defense had gotten to him. So don't think that's great. Also, I was talking to ESP about this at one point. I was like, what do you think Jalen Hurts' yards per attempt are in this training camp, if you had to say? If you had to guess, like, what do you think his yards per attempt are?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm sure it's
probably like, what?
It's not great.
Six?
Yeah.
Like Sam Bradford kind of numbers.
Yeah, he's had some bombs, I guess, that he's – well, the one
– No, he hasn't.
It should have been completed today. I guess you're right. I guess he should have also completed the one to Quez when Quez didn't run it out.
Yeah.
On the actual results, his yards per target and his yards per completion are both low.
That's why, like, it's just funny to me when you see some of the training camp stats and the completion percentage is high. Sure. But, like, first of all, it should be. It's practice. Right. Second of all, he's, like, not throwing beyond, like, 10 yards down the field.
You're not getting hit. You know, there's not even a line on 7-7s, for example.
Right.
Your touchdowns are, of course, going to be way higher when you do a full day of red zone drills.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the stats are – like I said during another episode, like, I respect that ESP tracks all that stuff, and I often refer to it after practice just out of curiosity of, like, how many completed, but it doesn't tell the full story, obviously.
No.
And actually, you look at his numbers today, they aren't good. It was like
– No.
Whatever, I mean, he 10 of 18 or something like that.
Zero touchdowns, one interception.
But I thought it was a stock up day because he made three throws that he consistently has not made.
So I want to take zoom out a little bit. We're through half of training camp already. I know that might sound crazy, but like we're through 7 of the total 14 practices the Eagles will have. That includes the practices against both Cleveland and Miami. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're just 10 if you don't count those. Like, what have you seen from Hurts? Like, bigger picture, I would argue. So what I wrote about for BGN is like, I just don't think I'm seeing a significantly different player. I think he has made some strides in some regards, yes, but I don't think when you're talking about needle moving big picture, I don't think he's going to be like drastically different from what he was last year. And I think that's a really not a good thing. I think he needs to be significantly different than he was last year.
Yeah, I think there's improvement, and it's I think there's obvious improvement. There's just not a lot of it. And I think that kind of sort of reinforces the notion of what's his ceiling. Like, is he capable of becoming like a top quarter of the league type of guy? And, I don't know that he's that. And I think that improvements will continue to come in 2023 and beyond. But I think they'll be, continue to be sort of incremental it'll kind of be baby steps. I don't think we're going to see any kind of huge leap from one year to the next, because as a passer, he just isn't gifted that way the same way that he is as a runner and via intelligence. It's kind of what we thought would maybe happen in this training camp, where we'd see some improvement. But probably just not enough to like go, okay, well, this guy is primed for a huge season coming up. And, we'll see. I think he's more of a gamer than he is a practice guy, which he has shown, in past seasons. We'll see what the outcome is on the season. But, about what I was expecting heading into camp.
He is who we thought he is. And we let him off the hook. No, I think bigger picture, you need to see significant improvement, in part because it's not as simple as everything stays the same and Jalen Hurts makes these slight tweaks and everything else stays the same. And by that, I mean, the defenses are going to have more tape and time to prepare for him. So there's going to be, you have to account for that as well. The teams that are going to get, like everyone talked about, after Chip Kelly's first season, which is a huge talking point going into 2014. Like, how teams have tape on him now. Teams have extensive tape on Jalen Hurts now, and specifically when it came to how the Eagles readjusted their offense last year and made it work. Like, so it can't just be minor improvements, because you're also getting worse in a different area, or could be, or at least you're facing more challenges in a different area. And so what I would say, I don't think he's improved to the level where you're like offsetting that part, that other part that could be going against him. And yes, you know, we're halfway through training camp. It's possible he finishes strong, but I've said this before and I'll say it again. Like, if he follows the same routine of camp like he did last year, how am I supposed to like buy into him being totally different this year? Because that's just the same formula he kind of followed. So I don't feel great about that necessarily. I think I had one more thing.
Well, there was really a comp that was made, and maybe this is more along like the fantasy football world. And we've talked about this before.
Oh,
a
comp between, no.
between him and Josh Allen of the Bills. There's no comp there. Josh Allen is extremely gifted in terms of his physical abilities. 6'5", he's 240-ish, huge cannon arm, can also run, can run guys over. He's like, he's got everything you want physically out of a quarterback. Jalen Hurts just doesn't have that. Like, he's never going to be like on Josh Allen's level just because he's not gifted physically the way that Josh Allen is. So, can he make a leap in year three? Sure. Josh Allen made a huge leap in year three because his, you know, the mental side of it finally caught up with his physical abilities, and he became, you know, an elite quarterback. That's, you know, that kind of leap isn't coming from Jalen Hurts because he's like he's already there mentally. He's already smart. He's already intelligent. He can read, you know, he's all there mentally and competitively. And that's not going to improve substantially because he's already smart. But you know, the physical, like the mental side isn't going to catch up to the physical side is not going to be on the level of a Josh Allen, who is just so incredibly gifted that way. And Hurts simply isn't.
Last thing I'll say is that when you look at it again, zooming out big picture, no one can argue it's been a strong training camp for the offense. No one can say that.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think anyone can say that. Like, you know, quarterback has a lot to do with that at the end of the day. So that's an issue. And if camp ends that way, also an issue. People want to kind of question how much does practice matter? You know, some real Allen Iversons over here. It does. Guess what? It does. Carson Wentz looked on fire ahead of 2017. Carson Wentz sucked ahead of 2020. And that was pretty telling.
Yeah.
I've heard our good friend Zach Berman talk about how maybe it doesn't mean everything because Nick Foles has looked bad in practices. And, yes, while true, I would say, number one, that's Nick Foles, though. He is very much up and down. He's his very high variance. Yeah. And also, like, he's just a very unique player from a general state. Like, I would not use Nick Foles as a template for anything. He's incredibly...
one of the oddest careers in NFL history.
Yeah. Very much an anomaly. So that's not doesn't really, like, set the standard or baseline for me. Not, with all due respect to Zebra, I'm not trying to rip him. I just don't like that.
Brandon hates Zebra is what we're learning here.
I'll have to fight him. All right. Probably enough Hurts talk for everyone who's still around. Where else should we go today, Jimmy?
I'll just go through very quickly O-line, D-line drills since we just touched on 7-on-7s. Jordan Davis is going to be really good immediately.
Yes, like, sir.
I'm sold on that. He's going to have an impact as a rookie. Today he overpowered Cam Jurgens. For the most part, Cam Jurgens has actually played really well against Jordan Davis, both in one-on-ones and in team drills. Whenever they've gone head to head, but Davis got leverage quickly against him and then just walked him back into the pocket, just totally overpowered him. On Davis's next rep, I think he was aligned as like a three tech. I couldn't tell exactly because I had a sideline view as opposed to like from behind. But he made like a three tech. He's got three tech moves in his arsenal, and I can't imagine being an offensive lineman lining up against this guy, and just the sheer size of this guy lining up against him. I got to imagine like these guys in their head, they're like, just don't get run over. Just don't get run over. And then you account for that. And then bang, he just goes right around you. The move that he made to the outside, and granted the player he was facing off here was Cameron Tom, a guy they added like a day or two before training camp began. So, you know, advantage Davis right off the bat. But the move that he made on this guy around the edge just went right around him for this. It's actually the second time this has happened this camp where he just made a guy look like he was standing in quicksand with cinder block feet. It's his quickness is absolutely remarkable. And when he can move like that, when opposing offensive linemen are thinking he's just going to bowl them over on every down, he's got a chance to be really special. And I don't think that the concerns that he can't rush the passer at all are valid, because he is going to get after the passer. I don't know if his stats are going to show that in his rookie season or possibly even throughout his career, but he's that guy is going to pressure the opposing passers throughout his career. Two more quick notes. Lane Johnson has absolutely destroyed Hassan Reddick throughout camp, like on these one-on-one drills. And I don't think it's like a slight to Reddick here. I just think we just sometimes undervalue how awesome Lane Johnson is as a player. And then one more thing, just a guy that I hadn't mentioned yet in my notes, but he's kind of shown up every day and done nice things both in team drills and one-on-ones. It's Big Marv, Marvin Wilson.
Big Marv.
Who was an undrafted rookie free agent out of Florida State last year of the Browns. Browns cut him at 53.
Yeah, you talked about this on the last spot.
I did, okay. The Eagles signed him to the practice squad. And he had another good day today, too. So it's been like 73 on 73 crime during – it's him against Bill Dunkel every day.
Who might be the worst player in camp.
He's been dunking on poor Bill Dunkel all camp. So I'd like to actually see him get some matchups against, you know, like real NFL offensive linemen and see what he can do against them. But for now, he has, you know, dominated the competition that he has gone up against so far.
I didn't watch one-on-one so much. Tried to look when I could. But I noticed some trench play that I will point out. Teron Jackson, I think, has kind of had some flashes in camp. Not hasn't really been consistently a monster, but he's really flashed on certain pass rush opportunities, I would say. And in that vein, I want to establish his credit a little bit, because I thought Josh Sills, who was playing at left tackle with the availability issues the Eagles have there.
I didn't see that. That's a good note by you.
Yeah, he stonewalled Jackson on one rep there. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good for undrafted rookie free agent who people thought might have been more of a guard kicking out there and stopping Jackson, who's had some nice moments this summer. So that's something to maybe file away and keep an eye on, see if he might be anything. Probably more of a practice squad guy, but still, I thought that was a nice note.
Mention that. I think Sills played all five offensive line spots during his time. Oklahoma State, I think he played for.
I don't know.
Not totally sure. But I think he played either four or five different spots along the O-line there. So that actually makes some sense. That's a guy that's possibly, you know, practice squad material. No way that guy's making the team, because they're just so loaded along the offensive line. And also Teron Jackson had a sack on that bomb by Hurts that we talked about earlier to A.J. Brown. So that play actually didn't even count, because he got sacked. Hurts got sacked before that.
But I didn't see that. Okay.
But the throw was you know, so good and notable. I mean, who cares? Like, it's not his fault that he got sacked. Like, he got the ball out on time, but Teron Jackson was able to get to him very quickly on that play for a sack.
A couple of random things, I guess, before we transition to the people I want to talk about, but I have to save until the awards for content's sake. I thought Britton Covey kind of had another good day for the most part. Mm-hmm. He had a bad drop on the final play of the practice, which was developmental period. But he was seeing some first team slot receiver reps, which is like, that's interesting, because he just had his best day arguably before on Thursday. So it looks like they wanted to get him some more work with the starters and see how he did. And I thought he had some good moments with the offense there. Nothing like incredibly, you know, not a game breaking kind of player, but like solid and shifty in the inside there. So that was nice. Didn't really talk about AJ Brown in terms of just like him being a volume target hog. Hurts is loving throwing to that guy, and understandably so. And I tweeted out today, like, all Jalen Hurts does is throw to A.J. Brown. And some people were like, I think took that as a complaint. It's not really a complaint. I'm just saying, like, that's what it's what's happening.
Yeah.
It's not like that's a problem necessarily. Although, you know, there's times where you probably want to work your, you know, work the field and work your reads and everything and not just always throw to him all the time. But you know, Devontae Smith isn't out there currently, and Brown's pretty good, so that's good. I do want to bring up the tweet from AJ Brown after practice that I guess I already brought up, the one where he said it was a pass breakup.
Yeah.
next, and then he deleted it, which, like, I don't, we've talked about it before, I guess, but the, like, AJ Brown is responding to everything, any kind of comment.
Yeah, he's going
to
burn out. Or,
like, it's not good, man. It's not good. Like, who cares? The rabbit ears with this team are a little, it's a red flag for me, I have to say.
Yeah, it's been a lot of players, too. It's been him. It's been Rager. It's been, who else?
Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders. But yeah, AJ Brown is fighting on Twitter on a lot of different levels. He's fighting Tennessee fans. And like not even provoked, really. Like,
yeah,
he responded to Deebo Samuel getting a contract, and his message was we basically said we all got basically the same contract, referring to him, DK Metcalf, Deebo Samuel. Or was it DK Metcalf? I got, who cares? It doesn't matter.
I think it was Deebo, but whatever.
It doesn't matter. And he said, oh, well, we all got the same contract, but I guess it was me. My fault that it, whatever, who cares? It doesn't, whatever. So there's that. He's defending, Jalen Hurts when, D-Gun came out with his report that, the Eagles were, you know, concerned about the way that he played during OTAs. And then now, I mean, who cares if people think that, like, Darius Slay didn't tip the pass on the long ball? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's a training camp practice. Who cares?
Like, if you were going to come at me specifically, not saying he was, but if he was going to come
at me specifically. Well, a lot of different people said that. That's, a lot of people said that it was a drop, I think.
Right. But I'm saying if he was going to come at me specifically, I even included in there, he had the 8th worst drop rate in the league last year. Okay. Maybe that play wasn't a drop, but he had bad drops last year and he had a drop like early in training camp and you fumbled. So you can't, like, the theme of like your hands might be a problem. You can't be like, no, they're definitely not. Like, that's a dumb point. Like, no, it's not a dumb point. It's definitely kind of fair to wonder. So in a situation
he's got
to
stop paying attention though.
Yeah.
Because I agree. It's not, this isn't Nashville.
Nothing good can possibly come out of it.
I mean, he's coming from, you know, Ole Miss. He went to Nashville, and now, like, he's in one of the football-hungriest town, maybe the football-hungriest city in the NFL. So
I don't even think we're, like, criticizing him here as much as we're trying to look out for him and be like, AJ, do not – we're giving you free advice
Stop
here.
It, man. you're gonna get burned out too quick.
All right.
I mean, if he's good, it doesn't matter because everyone will – like,
sure.
I mean, the praise will, just completely drown out any quibbling. But you just got to not pay attention for a little while, I think.
I don't love the vibes and the energy coming out of that whatever that is going on there. I will say two quick more things before I'm ready to go to break. And that's number one, I thought Josh Jobe had his best day in training camp, which was kind of important for him because Kerry Vincent Jr. and Jimmy Moreland both left practice, and Mac McCain, my guy, was upgraded to limited, but still isn't practicing fully. So kind of an opportunity for him to step up. He had a pass breakup on a Gardner Minshew throw over the middle. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to give him credit for having tight coverage on Jalen Rager. And I believe he knocked the ball out, or at least him being so close to Rager helped the defense get a play where Rager couldn't hold on to the ball as he was going to the ground.
That's the one where his helmet came off too?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I think he deserves some credit for being in tight coverage on that play. Yeah. So good for him. I mean, he's still fighting with a lot of other guys to make a roster, but he flashed a little bit. And then one last thing I had, and then you can respond to these if you want.
Yeah.
Derek Barnett's quietly had a good camp.
Yeah. Okay.
He's gotten some good, I think he's gotten some good pressure. He's only been penalized one time that I can remember, which is good. Nothing, that makes me believe he's going to be a double-digit sack guy this season or anything. But, like, quietly, for a guy who could probably use a quiet camp in terms of being, public enemy number one, or at least one of the public enemies last year, for him to kind of just be quiet and have a good camp, it's a nice thing for him.
I have a couple really quick things. You're probably going to get to this, but I'm going to say it right now anyway. Okay. It's Jason Huntley.
Steal my thunder.
Jason my Huntley ran with some anger today. Like, we all know he's fast, sir. But he ran over. Was that a defensive back? I didn't see who it was who he ran over.
I had a tough time remembering or tracking that too. Yeah, the angle was tough.
And then later in practice, he had a play where he was running near the sideline and he could easily just dipped out of bounds. Nope. He tried to take the aforementioned Josh Jobe, throw him to the ground with a stiff arm. Didn't quite succeed doing that, but I love the aggression sure. that he ran with
the chutzpah.
And even got some, whoops from the offensive players on the sideline.
Yep.
A lot of people yelling. A lot of hunts being there.
Yeah.
They call them hunt. A lot of hunts being yelled out from the sideline today. Josiah Scott, you mentioned how Josh Sills played some offensive tackle today. Well, Josiah Scott played some safety today. I am curious if that's a good thing or a bad thing for him. I'm leaning good thing for now because it shows versatility. Maybe it's not a good thing because they think other young corners are ahead of them, so they're just trying them somewhere else. I lean toward good thing for on that one right now. And then one other note. So Jordan Mailata and Andre Dillard are both out with concussions at the moment. Jordan Mailata was back out on the field today. Didn't practice, but he was out there. Andre Dillard, not yet out there at all.
No, so, you're wrong. He was out there.
Oh, he was. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
He was I know he was. He was like wearing sunglasses. I specifically remember seeing him. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think the sunglasses are an indication maybe that I would think Mailata is probably more likely to come back first among those two players. But yeah, bummer for Dillard because he was having, a really good camp when he got hurt.
Yeah, they'll be back soon. Boston Scott, a new injury, by the way. He took that big hit from Marcus Epps on Thursday, and he is dealing with a concussion now and missing time. And I think he'll make the roster, but not great when he's missing time. And Jason Huntley is kind of stepping up a little bit. So Jason Huntley, by the way, the lightest player on the team out here trucking people. Yeah. Sorry. The lightest running back on the team.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. That
sorry. Right. Important context.
There's like no way Britton Covey's heavier than him.
My bad, everyone. Jimmy, why don't we take a break, but not before we hear about Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors and RoachRealtors.com.
Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors just had a couple glasses of wine. She's feeling pretty good. And you are looking
it's 4:44 on Saturday.
It's okay. Her week is winded down.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying for context for people.
If you are looking to buy or sell your house, feel free to call her. 856-906-9295. Again, 856-906-9295. Brandon.
We'll be back after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back here on BGN Radio, Jimmy. We already kind of got into the Jalen Hurts stocked up, stocked down, everything. You said you agreed with me, stock even. We keep this in mind here. If I bend or you bend a certain way, I might owe you one a little bit or a little more willing.
I could have gone either
move.
Way on my own. Okay. Stock up, stock down. So I'm happy to meet you on stock even on today.
So where I have him personally in camp, not the BGN radio version, but I have him personally is starting from day one and moving onward, stock even, stock down, stock even, stock up, stock down, stock even. So I have three evens, three downs, and one up. So not ideal. I think you could argue for like one more up in there. Even so, still not. I think it wasn't like you was going to be stock up every day. That wasn't realistic. But yeah, I think you're looking for a little bit more. So that's disappointing, but we have him at even and we'll see what he does in the second half of training camp. Who's your MVP for today?
I think I'm going to go Huntley.
Yes. I love it.
I'm going Jason Huntley. I mean, he didn't do much. He just had those two runs. I guess he had other runs too, but the two that I don't think of him as a physical player. And he showed something on those two runs. Like there was the one, remember there was one camp where like Wendell Smallwood just had a great camp out of nowhere. And he was like running people over, chucking guys, really physical. And then he wound up not doing anything during the regular season. But I mean, Huntley is reminding me a little bit of that right now, except he has way more speed. So like, I think that, you know, those returner positions are sort of up for grabs. They certainly didn't get anything out of their kick returners. They didn't get any of their punt returners for that matter either. You have Britton Covey, you know, sort of competing for those spots as well. But Huntley is, in my opinion, the best kick returner on the team. And if he can show anything on, he's not going to make the team just on that. I don't think they're not going to keep him because he's a good kick returner. I think he's got to show that he can help in the offense too. And I think today he showed that, there's some juice there. Clearly he can run. And if he can also run physically like that and not fumble the ball, then, he's got a real shot to make the team.
Also, those skills are valuable in kick returning, you know, running through contact like that, being able to, you know, make a guy either, bolt through a guy or, you know, stiff arm someone and be willing to get some extra guard. So, yeah, I think those are positive things, both on offense and in special teams value. I'm happy you did it. Now, he is my guy, but I can't give him a double MVP because it wasn't like that good of a practice to be able to get the double MVP, the rare award. I'm going to give it to Kaiser White, who I thought had a really good day. He's had a good camp overall. I don't think he's flashed necessarily as much as TJ Edwards, but he's had some moments. And today he had a really nice pass breakup, almost a near pick, I thought, on a Jalen Hurts throw to Dallas Goedert over the middle. And then he also had a play where it looked like a promising screen at first to Miles Sanders. I was like, okay, this is going to go for a decent game. Nope. Kaiser White flies in. Perfect position to make the tackle. Would have been a big hit, big pop on him if the Eagles were actually allowed to tackle in this scenario. And I gave Kaiser White, I think, a play of the day award previously for getting pressure on Jalen Hurts. And I specifically cited his closing speed. And I think that's what we saw more of today between the pass breakup and then getting to Sanders on that screen was his speed. Like the Eagles have talked in the past about adding certain players, especially undersized players, and their speed. And that always hasn't, I feel like, manifested. You don't always see that. I'm seeing it with Kaiser White. I think he's looked good. I'm going to give him my MVP.
All right. My LVP is Fletcher Cox. So Fletcher Cox had a pass breakup today.
Where's this coming from?
He had a batted pass today, and which is actually a good thing, obviously. It made me think. I haven't seen him at all. Like, it's the first time I really noticed him during camp. And I'd like to be clear, when Fletcher Cox was an elite player, he often didn't do anything in camp. But the regular season would come around and he'd dominate, but he just didn't really try hard in camp. But that didn't matter when he was awesome. After that batted pass, I sort of paid attention to him in one-on-one drills, and he had one of the most non-effort reps I've ever seen in a one-on-one, O-line, D-line drill. I might be overstating it a little bit, but he just basically kind of tried to run around the offensive lineman. I don't remember who it was, and was kind of cut off. And then he just basically ran back with his defensive line teammates. And that was it. He was done for his reps for the day during that period. And, you know, you compare and contrast that with the way that Brandon Graham comes out and plays every day. You just see the high level of effort. He comes out and he plays like I mentioned during, I think, the last podcast, actually, where he plays like an undrafted rookie trying to make the team. And he's 34 years old. He's coming off an Achilles tear and he's basically competing really hard every single day. I just don't see that out of Fletcher Cox. And you'd hope to see that now because he's coming off the worst season of his career. And I just haven't seen it. He's just kind of going through camp the way that he has his whole career. And, I wonder at what point that catches up to him. So, again, while he actually did a good thing today with the batted pass to the line of scrimmage, I mean, all he did was put his arm up in the air, so I don't give him too much credit for that. He's been invisible throughout camp, and I can't – there's no really one player that I thought had a notably really bad day. Today I'll give it to Fletch.
I think it's a fair point by you. I think it's important to contrast with Brandon Graham, and specifically like with Brandon Graham, veteran player, but also coming off a season or a year with something to prove, in that like he wants to prove he can still play and still be a, not to still play, but like the way he's playing, like, don't take me off the field. Like, I want to lead the all defensive ends in snaps. The way he's like playing is the way, like, the effort he's kind of giving. Like, not only am I still like here and a factor on this team, but like, don't play other people over me because I'm your best option. Like, that's the kind of camp and the effort he's putting forth. And I think that's important to distinguish that. Like, oh, because people could be like, okay, well, he's in that situation and Cox like isn't, but he is, because Fletcher Cox is coming off a season, his first one in, since what I'm looking at it here, since 2014, that he did not make the Pro Bowl. And I thought his 2020 inclusion on the Pro Bowl was a little bit generous.
Sure.
And based on reputation, not to say, you know, obviously still, he's still a good player, still very much an above average player, but that's not good enough. He needs to be like one of the very best players on the team, especially for what you're paying him. And like, it's not like, I feel like he should be in a spot again where he shouldn't realize that there's more pressure on him to, you know, kind of step it up after last year.
Right.
Again, he missed the Pro Bowl. He came back, he got cut, and he came back on a contract that I'm sure he saw that like most people were like, why did they re-sign him? Like, you would think that might motivate a player to be like, I'm going to show you why they kept me and why I'm around here. And I'm still like, you know, and maybe he will in the regular season. I won't. If he does, then whatever. Maybe that's how he gets ready for the season, and that's fine at that point. Although, you know, maybe it's not the best way to kind of have the young guys around that and kind of and set the standard there by leading by example. So I agree with you. Fletcher Cox, as I've said, is a player with 4.5 sacks in his last 22 games, which is just like, that's not cutting it. So I think it's a good pick by you. It's not necessarily just about today as much as it's about, you know, a bigger thing. But I think that's fine. I think it's fine to do that. I have Reed Sinnett. Now, we've talked about Reed Sinnett, you know, having a good camp. And I want to clarify, because I said this on a previous podcast, and I think someone got confused. They're like, you said Reed Sinnett had the best training camp of any quarterback. It's not what I said. I said he had the best training camp relative to expectation. Right, relative to expectation, meaning like what you thought the player would be going into camp, which, in like, admittedly, no expectations of Reed Sinnett.
Right. So we all thought of him as the fourth quarterback.
Right. Yes. He changed his number twice this offseason, because Reddick got it when it was number 7, and then Zach Pascal or whoever took it.
Yeah, 3. So he took 3, and then Zach Pascal took 3.
Yeah, so like, you know, he was chopped liver, and he came in, and again, the bar is very low, so he didn't have to do much to surpass it, but he did. So anyway, after saying all that, I thought he had his worst day today, where he threw a really bad pick to Jacoby Stevens, like right to him in 7-on-7. He had another bad pass.
That was a great play by Jacoby Stevens, by the way. That was like one of those short range, like total reaction, just type of like within like 5-10 yards of the line of scrimmage, where he just quickly snatched it out of the air. We should have that's strong candidate for play of the day, in my opinion. It won't be mine, but it's a strong candidate for one.
He almost had another pass that was picked off. I thought he forced it into coverage and it got tipped, and Jaron Maiden almost nearly came up with it. So not the end of the world, but just I don't think it was to me. I looked at my notes and I was like, who had the weakest day? And it was Reed Sinnett in my notes. So he gets it today, which is a little unfortunate, because he's not going to really get credit for the good days, just because he'd really have to light practice on fire to get an MVP point, probably over others. But it is what it is. My play of the day, because I want to give Jason Huntley credit somewhere, if I'm not going to give him the MVP, is give him his, I have, quote, Jason Huntley stiff arming the crap out of Josh Jobe as my play of the day.
Okay.
Who do you have for yours?
I have the A.J. Brown catch over the middle in stride on a full on sprint, and then stiff arming. We both have stiff arms in our play of the day.
Yes.
He stiff armed Kerry Vincent in the face twice. Yeah. I think that's a preview of what is to come this season with AJ Brown's physical style of running after he has the ball in his hands, if he can stay healthy.
That was very much a man amongst boys kind of look right there. Like, he was, AJ Brown was just toying with Kerry Vincent. He's like, you're not going to tackle me.
Get
out of here. Yeah. Just like swatting him away. Like, he's a fly. Like, shoot, like, get out of here. So that's a good pick by you. All right. 7 days down. 7 more to go. including, or the next stop is, again, Eagles training camp practice at the Link on Sunday evening. We'll be there. So the podcast will be out either very late that night or maybe early the next morning. We have yet to decide, Jimmy, when we're actually going to record that. We'll figure that out. But regardless, it'll be there for you at some point, and Monday will be an off day for us. It'll be a walkthrough day for the team. So that's what's coming up next year. Any final thoughts for you, Jimmy?
Yeah, so we talked about the Dick Rod controversy in a previous episode where... So in the last Birds with Friends episode, I guess they... I'm guessing it was a live show. It was on YouTube or something, and they like people who are watching can type questions or whatever.
Yeah,
and
I heard this.
They opened it up to questions, and somebody said that I claimed that I coined Dick Rod, and that's not true at all. That's not what we said a couple episodes. Now, what I said was Bo was sort of claiming his territory as having coined Dick Rod. And I think that maybe I'm reading too much into Bo's intent, but I feel like he was trying to corner the market on usage of Dick Rod. And my argument, and whether he was doing that or not, I just wanted to be clear that Dick Rod is for everyone. Dick Rod for everyone is my slogan for 2022.
Rachel, just clip that part for the podcast promo. Just Jimmy just saying Dick Rod is for everyone and no context. And that's the only promo for this pod.
Yeah. Dick Rod's for everyone. And I feel like, you know, everyone should be able to enjoy in the gloriousness of, you know, tweeting, talking about Dick Rod. Now, you went ahead while we were recording that episode and you looked at like the first time that I had ever mentioned Dick Rod and the first time Bo had and you had. And what did you say it was? April 5th? Was the first time that I had mentioned it on Twitter,
it was pretty much when they signed him 2018, I believe.
So
and
he
I
was
couldn't
signed...
find one from Bo until 2020.
Okay. So he was signed April 4th of 2018. I first mentioned Dick Rod, April 5th. So it was a day after they signed him. And in that tweet, as you noted, I didn't even take credit. Then I said that my friend said, oh, hey, texted me, said, hey, by the way, his name could be Dick Rod. So like I tweeted that out. So to be very clear, I am not trying to take credit for coining Dick Rod. I feel like this charlatan questioner listening in on the, and actually they're a listener of ours too, because he knew that I said something about Dick. So we love him for listening to our show. But you know as well as I do, my friend, that whoever asked them that question, you know that I just didn't say that I coined Dick Rod. I was very clear that Kevin DeLacy brought Dick Rod to my attention. So again, my messaging here is I didn't coin it, not making that claim. And I feel that whoever did claim, and by the way, like Packers fans called him Dick Rod long before he ever signed with the Eagles. I'm not taking credit for it. My messaging here is that Dick Rod is for everybody.
I will say that regardless of who invented it or whatever, that if Bo was going to claim like he popularized it or invented it either way, and you don't have any tweets about it before 2020 when he was on the team since 2018, like that's, you know, I think that's a bit of a stretch to me, is all I'll say. All right. My final thought is I want to read two Apple Podcast reviews. Make sure you leave these. Rate, review, subscribe. If you've already left a review, you can leave another one. It updates and it goes to the top of the feed so I can see it and read it, like the two I will read here quickly for you, Jimmy. Number one is Interviews with the Other Media was awesome. This is from Philly Fans.
Oh, good.
-AFS. Yeah, I asked people for the feedback on these and they delivered. The training camp interviews with the other media members was awesome. I love, quote, inside baseball stuff. Jeff McLean had a great stories. And I agree. And Jimmy let everyone down by not recording one today on Saturday. So I told everyone in my practice notes to go yell at you on Twitter. So if you get any tweets, there you go.
I have not yet, but I haven't checked in a little bit. So okay. We'll see.
Wow, shot fired at me. No one's reading my notes. Second one comes from Eric S. in Oakland. Shout out to Eric out there in the Bay Area. BGN rules plus ice cream. Love Jimmy and Brandon. Lots of great analysis and laughs. They help me stay up to date on the Eagles. Plus, you get the occasional ice cream analysis. Love Mr. Softy getting a shout out recently. Chocolate Jimmy's all the way. Would love to hear your favorite ice cream shops. Jimmy, do you have a favorite ice cream shop? Hey there, BGN radio listeners. The internet connection that Jimmy Kemsky and I had was not good at the end of BGN Radio episode 262. So I'm recording this little makeshift ending for us here because I don't know exactly where the pod ended from our recording and what was picked up and what was not. So just figured really quickly, I would add, thank you for listening. As always, check out RighteousFelon.com. Use discount code BGN20 for 20% off for a special time going on right now. You can also want to check out Kristen Roach of RoachRealtors.com if you're looking to buy, sell, or rent a house. Follow me on Twitter at Brandon Gatton. Follow Jimmy Kemsky on Twitter and Instagram, at Jimmy Kemsky. Do all that good stuff, and then we will be back here with you for another podcast. Again, either late on Sunday night, because the practice is at 7, so it'll be pretty late, or early on Monday at some point before Tuesday, you will have a podcast for the off day at some point with our recap of Sunday's session. So thanks for staying tuned to BGN, and we'll talk to you next time. This is where Jimmy says goodbye, everybody.
BGN.